Hey everyone, so you know how we're always hearing about the lack of East Asian Americans in top leadership positions? Like that whole bamboo ceiling idea? Well, get this. Today we're diving into some seriously fascinating research that goes way beyond just stating the problem.
This is really interesting stuff. What's fascinating here is that we're really going to dive deep into the individual's mindset. We're looking at a 2024 research paper by Qiu and Feng that explores how an individual's beliefs about culture, specifically for East Asian Americans in this case, might actually be influencing their career
Okay,
trajectory.
so we're not just talking about external barriers here. We're talking about what's going on inside people's heads.
Exactly. They really focused on this idea of cultural essentialism. So imagine someone believing that all Asian cultures just value things like seniority and group harmony above all else. They might be less likely to speak up in meetings,
Oh, interesting.
even if they have like brilliant ideas, because their mindset is like shaped by this fixed view of what their culture is supposed to be like.
So it's almost like they're trapped by these stereotypes, even if they're not even aware of it.
Precisely. And that's just one example. Now contrast that with a social constructionist view, which sees culture as way more fluid, like a constantly evolving thing that's shaped by our interactions and the choices we make.
So instead of saying, "This is just how my culture is," someone with a more social constructionist view would be open to adapting and finding their own way.
Exactly. They acknowledge that, yeah, cultural influences exist, but they don't see them as these rigid, predetermined blueprints for how they should behave or what they can achieve.
Okay, I'm already starting to see how this could play out in a workplace.
Oh, absolutely.
But did the researchers just talk about this theoretically, or did they actually talk to people about this?
They got into it. They interviewed 19 East Asian American professionals to understand how these different views on culture actually played out in their real lives.
That's what I'm here for, the real life stuff. Give me an example.
Absolutely. One interviewee, AH, a medical partner, really embodied that essentialist view. He talked about how his upbringing in an Asian household where predictability and security were highly valued actually drew him to medicine, a career path he saw as stable and respected.
That makes sense. But it also makes me wonder, did he ever feel limited by that? Like, what if he had this secret passion for something totally different, but felt pressure to follow a certain path?
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of why this research is so fascinating. You see, it's not about saying one view of culture is inherently good or bad for your career. It's about understanding how these mindsets can influence our choices and behaviors, even subconsciously.
Okay, so let's talk about those behaviors. What happens when these essentialist or social constructionist views actually start playing out at work? What do they find?
Here's where it gets really interesting. They found a distinct difference in how those with different cultural mindsets approach their careers. For example, those who held more essentialist views, so those who really believed in those fixed cultural traits, were actually more likely to withdraw from leadership opportunities.
Hold on, are you saying that believing in those stereotypes could actually make people less likely to go for promotions? Why? I feel like you would think they'd be striving for those top spots. You know what I mean?
It seems counterintuitive, but their reasoning often reinforced those classic stereotypes.
For example, one interviewee, AD, worked as a scientist, and he mentioned that he didn't think he had the personality for management. Like, he just didn't see himself as someone who could lead.
It's interesting, right? Because they get into this. Like, he saw himself as more of a bookworm, a stereotype often associated with East Asians, and didn't believe he could really break out of that mold.
Wow, that's a perfect example of how these like ingrained beliefs about cultural traits can almost become self-fulfilling prophecies,
Totally.
even if they're not even accurate or fair.
Exactly. It's like internalizing a limitation that may not even exist.
Right.
On the other hand, those with a more social constructionist view, seeing culture as adaptable and fluid, they actively sought out opportunities for growth and learning. They saw themselves as change agents and were more likely to have attained higher positions within their companies.
So instead of saying, "I can't be a leader because of who I am," they're saying, "I'm going to learn and adapt and become the leader I want to be, regardless of any preconceived notions."
Precisely. And one of the key differentiators, according to the study, seems to be this idea of bicultural identity integration, or BII for short. Basically, it's about how well someone feels their two cultural identities, in this case, Asian and American, are integrated within themselves.
Blendedness.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how much do these two identities clash, or are they seamlessly integrated?
So you're probably thinking, what's this got to do with me? Here's the thing. This research shows that how well you blend those identities is a huge predictor of how far you'll go in your career. It's about more than just being from different cultures. It's about how well you weave them together.
You hit the nail on the head. For example, those with the essentialist, more fixed view of culture might struggle with this integration. They often describe feeling caught between two worlds, like they had to suppress parts of themselves to fit in. One interviewee even admitted to bringing out his American side at work because he felt like he couldn't be his authentic self. Could you imagine feeling like you have to choose which part of your identity to present to the world?
It breaks my heart to think about it, and it makes me appreciate even more the importance of creating work environments where everyone, regardless of their background, feels safe and empowered to be their true selves. But what about those who grew up feeling like they had to choose one culture over the other? How can they develop that blendedness?
Right, and that's a great question, and some did. And this is where things get really practical and potentially empowering. Remember AB, the retail VP we mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
He talked about the importance of not treating yourself differently in your mind, of embracing a mindset similar to what he called the American way of thinking, being open, willing to learn and adapt.
Okay.
But he was also clear that this didn't mean abandoning his cultural identity. It was more about recognizing that culture isn't a barrier, it's a resource.
I love that. It's like he was saying, yes, be adaptable, but don't lose yourself in the process. And it sounds like he really walked the walk rising to become a VP despite not speaking perfect English, which he acknowledged directly.
Precisely. He even challenged the idea that cultural differences should be seen as disadvantages.
Oh, wow.
He flipped the script, talking about how those differences can actually become strengths in a diverse workplace.
Interesting.
And this wasn't just AB either.
Oh, tell me more. Who else embodied this perspective?
There was this other interviewee, AJ, who held a senior VP position in finance. He actually talked about using Asian stereotypes to his advantage.
Okay, now that's unexpected. How did that work?
Well, he amusingly described himself as one of the dumbest Asians you'll ever meet.
What?
Playing on that stereotype of Asians being naturally gifted in math and analytics.
Right.
He said he wasn't particularly strong in those areas, but he excelled at building relationships and public speaking skills he felt were often undervalued in Asian professionals.
That's brilliant. By owning that stereotype, even poking fun at it, he was able to highlight his unique strengths and differentiate himself. It challenges those assumptions head on.
It does. And it speaks to the power of self-awareness and what researchers call frame switching. It's like when you're talking to your grandma versus your friends, you adjust your style depending on who you're with, right?
Right.
Biculturals, like many of the folks interviewed, often find themselves navigating between different cultural frames, adapting their communication styles and behaviors depending on the context. And those who can do this effectively, like AJ, can leverage their biculturalism as a strength, not a weakness.
That's such an important point. It's not about trying to fit into some narrow box of what people expect from someone of a certain background. It's about owning your whole self, your cultural heritage, your individual experiences, your unique skills, and using those to navigate the world authentically.
Exactly. And what's so interesting is that the researchers didn't just rely on these fascinating anecdotes from the interviews. They actually backed it up with quantitative data in a follow-up study.
Oh, wow.
They surveyed a larger group of East Asian American professionals and found a direct link between cultural essentialism and career outcomes.
Interesting.
They actually found that people with lower levels of cultural essentialism, meaning they had a more open and adaptable view of culture, tended to have higher blendedness in their bicultural identity.
Blendedness. Remind me what that means again.
Right. Good point. Blendedness in this context refers to how much someone sees their two cultural identities, in this case Asian and American, as overlapping and integrated rather than separate and distinct. It's a key facet of bicultural identity integration.
Gotcha. So the more someone saw their Asian and American identities as compatible, interconnected, the more likely they were to have advanced in their careers.
Exactly. It wasn't about rejecting their Asian heritage to fit in. It was about seeing how those different parts of themselves could coexist and even enhance their ability to lead and succeed.
This is reminding me of that idea we often talk about on the show, cultural intelligence. The ability to understand and navigate different cultural contexts with sensitivity and effectiveness. It sounds like those who are more comfortable blending their identities were more likely to possess that cultural intelligence, which in turn could have contributed to their career advancement.
That's a really astute observation. And it highlights the importance of moving beyond simple diversity quotas in the workplace. It's not just about having people from different backgrounds in the room. It's about creating a culture where everyone feels empowered to share their unique perspectives and experiences, to challenge those limiting stereotypes, and to truly thrive as their authentic selves. And that kind of environment benefits everyone.
So we've been unpacking all this research about cultural perspectives and career success, especially for East Asian Americans. But I think the question on everyone's mind is, what can we actually do with this information?
Right. It's not enough to just acknowledge these patterns. We need to understand how this applies in our own lives. And that's what I appreciate about this research. It offers real pathways for change.
Okay, so let's start with the individual. If someone's listening to this thinking, wait a minute, I have some of those essentialist beliefs, what can they do? How do they shift that mindset?
Well, you know, it all starts with awareness, right? This research isn't about labeling one view of culture as right or wrong. It's about recognizing how our own beliefs might be influencing our choices, even subconsciously, and sometimes holding us back from what we really want.
So it's about asking yourself, am I limiting my own potential by clinging to these fixed ideas about culture, about myself, about what's even possible?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself relating to that essentialist viewpoint, no judgment here. It just means there's a huge opportunity for growth.
Okay.
And one of the most powerful ways to shift that mindset is through exposure to diverse perspectives and experiences.
So actively seeking out opportunities to learn from people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different industries. Basically, anyone who can challenge those assumptions.
Right.
Precisely. The more we open ourselves up to different ways of thinking and being, the more that fixed essentialist view of culture starts to fade.
You know, it's funny. This makes me think about all those like cheesy team building exercises that try to force cultural awareness. Mm-hmm. But this research suggests it's way deeper than that. It's about genuine curiosity, a willingness to connect with people different from us, and a genuine desire to challenge our own long-held assumptions.
Absolutely. And this isn't just about personal growth. This research has major implications for how organizations approach diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's like you said earlier, just hiring people from diverse backgrounds isn't enough. Companies need to create an environment where those differences are valued, where people feel safe to be themselves, and where everyone feels empowered to lead.
You got it. It's about moving beyond those surface-level DEI initiatives to really fostering a culture of belonging and inclusivity.
Right.
It takes conscious effort to build that, like creating opportunities for cross-cultural mentorship and sponsorship so those from underrepresented groups have the support to thrive.
It all comes back to that idea of blendedness, doesn't it? Yeah. And how those who can comfortably navigate different cultural contexts can be those bridge builders, those cultural brokers. It's like they can lead the way in breaking down those barriers from within.
That's such an important point. Imagine the incredible impact if we had more leaders who are not only comfortable navigating different cultural contexts, but also truly passionate about creating a more inclusive and equitable workplace for everyone.
It's about shifting from a culture of fitting in to a culture of belonging where everyone feels empowered to bring their whole selves to work.
Exactly. And you know what? That's not just good for morale. It's good for business. Companies with diverse leadership teams are often more innovative, more adaptable to change, and yes, more profitable.
So it's a win-win for everyone involved. Yeah, this whole deep dive has really got my wheels turning. If our own mindsets shape so much of how we experience the world, could intentionally cultivating a more fluid social constructionist view of culture actually help us all unlock greater potential, both personally and professionally? It's like we're opening up a world of possibilities, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us. Something to think about.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
And something we should all be thinking about.